Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I came, this memory came back. Remember the 2006 Sochi Olympics? Well, there was a tremendous athlete, her name was Lindsay Jacobellis. And she totally revolutionized the sport of snowboarding. She won just about every single gold medal that there was to win in the event. She was a pioneer. She made the sport in the forefront. And so, you know, it was coming here in the 2006 games. She was competing in the finals in the Olympics, and she had a 3-second lead on her opponent. I mean, she had been told, they had press reports, and there were so many stories about her dominance in this sport. She had interview after interview after interview talking about how great she was, and she was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, a phenomenal athlete. But she was, you know, like I said, she was 3 seconds ahead coming to the penultimate jump, and as she went up, she decided to do something called a method grab. Does anybody know what a method grab is? Who's a Jack? Have you? Yeah. Let's take a vote here. Apparently you go up and you do some type of a move and you grab the board. I'm not going to demonstrate. So for any of you here today, but she attempted to do this method grab, and she landed on the edge of her snowboard and then went down. Those of you who I remember this. And while she was trying to get back up, while she was recovering, Tanja Frieden of Switzerland passed her and won the gold medal. And, you know, it was quite a thing. And then afterwards there were interviews and, you know, and she's like, look, this is part of the sport. I was just doing it. I was having a good time. And she's gone on to have an amazing career. Again, she has just about every single gold medal except an Olympic gold medal. 4 years later, she was actually racing and took a jump in one of the early rounds, and there was a crash in front, and she tried to avoid the crash, went out of bounds, and was disqualified. So she has, like, she's an amazing athlete. I'm not discrediting her ability as an athlete, a tremendous athlete. She's gone on to have an amazing career and even a post-athletic career. But one has to wonder about that event. One has to wonder about that moment in history, about all the hype that was around her prior to this. You know, because I got to tell you, praise and acclaim are heavy intoxicants. Praise and acclaim. You know, we hear sports star after sports star after sports star who are told of how wonderful and how great they are, and they begin to believe it. And then their actions outside begin to kind of seep over, and you see these attitudes. People who are tremendous in their particular field. Sometimes success and humility are really difficult to find walking together in harmony. All right. I've seen it in the professional music ranks. I've even seen it in the Christian music ranks now there are some really wonderful people, and there are also some folks that Christians are not immune to this. Okay. And so I thought that as I began to thinking about King Solomon, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10, and we're going to see something today, a visit that King Solomon has from a pretty amazing person in their own. And we're going to have a great Scrabble word for you today. Okay. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue. How many of you guys use that word all the time? Yeah. I actually had to look it up. Okay, it's a large group of attendants of high ranking officials. Okay, so this great troop together of high ranking officials with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon. Now, what's next? It says the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. There was no more breath in her. Kind of, she sang an 80s song. You take my breath away. Okay. We're going to do that to conclude our, no. You know, here's the deal, gang. As I read this, I thought, you know, looking of all the things that Solomon had accomplished. Now when we think of King Solomon, we should think of, you know, obviously wisdom. But after wisdom, there's something that we as Christians and we as people who have a Judeo-Christian worldview, you know, we know Solomon for what major action? What? Yep, wisdom. Okay, wisdom. And then what was the other major thing that Solomon did? Built the temple, right. Did something kind of escape you there? Solomon answered all her questions. Verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built. Now, whose house was this? This was his house. By the way, if you look at how much time he spent on the Lord's house and how much time he spent on his house, that should show you something, okay? It goes on the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and now we get to some good stuff, the burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. Didn't say that the house of the Lord, the burnt offerings at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. It didn't mean that the offerings stank, by the way. That's not what I say. It just meant it was awesome. That was a joke, and you all just like, just reading past it. Come on, lighten up. Okay, so this is something. Let's go on verse 6. And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Now verse 8, she starts hyping him. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She was the original spice girl. That's just too many pop culture. That's not even pop culture anymore. So anyway, all right. So she praises Solomon. And what's a little, this is kind of interesting. Verse 9, she says something pretty interesting. You know, blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you. God has delighted in you. Look at this report that the Queen of Sheba gave. Now, I got a question for you. How many of you like it when you receive praise? How many of you love someone to tell you, atta boy, atta girl? How many of you love to, come on, how many of you love to receive praise? Look, I've told you before, and most pastors I know were guilty of the same thing. You know, we can, you know, have a service or something. We can get 300 real positive comments. I exaggerated. We can get 5 positive comments and then 1 negative one. And you know what one we stew over and we think about all the time? The one mean one. All right. That happens. And we're like that. We can have so many things go right and then one thing negative and we have a tendency to go that we like praise. There's something about praise that we're really drawn to. We like it. What about when people try to give you a definition of how you're doing with God? See, I got 3 points today, and I was kind of artistic this week. The muse hit me. I was really, really, I was established. So I got 3 points today, and they're almost in poetic verse. Are you ready? I need to get my Shakespeare hat. Here we go. Don't be deceived by the praise you receive. Point number 1. Don't be deceived by the praise you receive. Whose voice should we be listening to define how we're walking with God? Whose voice? Whose voice is in the right perspective? Whose voice is in the right point of view to tell us accurately how we're doing with the Lord? It should be God's, right? Because I know that there's a lot of us who can be guilty of putting on a face to come to church on Sunday. A facade. I'm not just talking about your makeup, right? I'm talking about, look, there are some times that we can come into church and we like to put the Sunday. Is the Sunday you the same you that everyone's getting all week long? Hello? Did the mic, Bob, did this just stop? All of a sudden, like, it got quiet. All the air just left the room. If I had hair, it would be messed up right now. Why? You see, others only see the outside. They only see the facade. They see what we behold. I've told you guys the story multiple times of when Eli was just a little bitty toddler. Okay, he was a little bitty toddler, and forgive me because again I've shared this before. But I remember walking out in the garage, and he had one of those little. That was one of those little. Tyke, or I don't know, those little driver thingies with the battery operated things. That was when they first came out, and we'd found one at a garage sale, and I got a new battery for it. And he was on his back, reaching underneath this little thing. It wasn't clearance enough for to get there. And he was laying on his back going, I was like, what? And I realized I've had conviction, because when I was working on my car, sometimes, thank you, Jesus, was not the most prevalent thing. And I'd get frustrated, okay? And I realized something, okay? That there was something that your kids can really kind of show you something. Where did you hear that? Dad, okay? So we understand some things. And yet, people could say all the time and be like, oh, yeah, you're doing great. Wow, God just sure uses you. You're doing wonderful. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7. Samuel is sent to go and to literally anoint whom God has chosen for king. He goes to Jesse's house. And he sees all of the older children, thinks, oh my heavens, wow, surely the Lord's anointed. This guy looks the image. And yet God's nope. And he gives this counsel to Samuel. For the Lord does not, let's all read this together, 1 Samuel 16, 7. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God looks at the heart. And so what I want to tell you is we must be very careful about the praise we receive. We must be very careful not to try to judge how we are doing according to how everyone else is doing or according to what people say. Because people can tell you about yourself and it might not be accurate. Right? Be careful. Don't be deceived. In other words, just because a lot of people say something, they are not authorized. They're not in a right perspective to tell you truth the way that God does. Unfortunately, I've seen many pastors in my lifetime. I've known pastors in my lifetime who literally lived a double life. I've seen this. We've read the stories. The newspapers are always quick when a minister falls. And it's like, well, how did this happen? And I've been so interested to read interviews with these individuals afterwards. And they all kind of say the same thing. I believed the hype. Everyone was saying how blessed they were by my ministry and how God was using me and how these things continued to happen. And all of a sudden, I believed that I was great. Even though I had some issues with my life, I began to believe what people said about me more than what God was convicting me through the Holy Spirit. We see plenty of people here. We've made it a point through this series to understand that we should never mistake God's blessings solely as a justification that we're walking rightly before God. Now consider Proverbs, many of the Proverbs, in fact, most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon. So understand, Solomon is so wealthy. At this time, I mean, he's amazingly wealthy. He is wise. He has resources. He has all of these things. But look at Proverbs 27, 21, because it's kind of eerie to read this. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. So think about What does a crucible do? It separates the dross. It separates the impurities from the silver. The furnace for gold. You heat up gold to take out the impurities. It brings the garbage to the top, okay? And it says, but man is tested by what? The praise he receives. You want to have the garbage kind of come to the surface? Have a bunch of people praise you. Because you'll start believing it yourself. You'll start believing it yourself, gang. It's amazing how folks like to offer their judgment of God's approval on others. I see this happens at all time because we live in this culture that likes to find cult of personalities. It likes to find people who are good at stuff and then just assume that they're somehow walking at a little bit higher level. I guess what? They still have to take garbage out of their house. They still have to take garbage out of their house, gang. The Queen of Sheba says, God has delighted in you. And so I got a question. What has God been saying? And I got that question to you because we've read it. We have read that God was so intent that he wasn't quiet to King Solomon. In fact, we have recorded 3 different times that God has said things. And all 3 times it was, walk before me. Remember, obey my statutes, okay? Obey my commands. He does something great. Look, you're getting ready to build a house. Here's what I want you to do. Concerning this house, walk before me. Obey my statutes. Walk in my ways. Are you listening, Solomon? Why? Because God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Be careful, church family, allowing others to define your relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. Be careful allowing other people to define how you're doing with God. All right? Let's go on here. Because, let's see what happened after Sheba praised Solomon. You know, did this make Solomon humble himself? How did this impact? What do we read right after this? Let's go on to chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. What a weird number. Okay. I'm not even going to go there. I know. Some of you are like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. No. We're not even going to go there. Verse 15, besides. Okay, so grammarians, that means not even including this stuff. Okay, so there's other stuff besides those 666 talents of gold that came to Solomon each year. This is what he received from the people, okay? He says, besides that which came from the explorers, and from the business of the merchants, and from the kings of the west, and from the governors of the land. Okay, so besides all this, this is just what he received. Okay? Now, some of you are like, okay, what is a talent? A talent weighs roughly 75 United States pounds. Okay? 34.3 kilograms to you metric folk. Okay? And that's equal to about 1,094 troy ounces. That means if you take 1,094 times 666 times 1,800, that comes to 1,311,487,200. He could work for our administration now, right? Okay. I mean, look, goodness gracious, that's a lot. That's a lot of gold coming in, isn't that? Not to mention all the other stuff. Okay, this is crazy. Every year. Verse 18, if you read on to verse 18, it says that in his throne room, he had a throne that was made of ivory. How awesome would that be? And then it was overlaid with gold. Isn't ivory's beautiful? And then you'd overlay it with gold. And there were 2 lions that he'd used as armrests. I'm not lying. I don't know what's with me today. It's a pop culture. And these were life-size lions. Can you just imagine him sitting there? And then he had 6 more lions on the steps on either side, perched down. It is truly inspiring. Wow. Let's go on to verse 23. Let's see what's going on. Thus. Wait a minute. Thus? Thus, he's talking about all the things that Solomon had done and built. And now he's saying, thus, King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind. Every one of them brought his present, articles of silver, of gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, mules, so much year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots with 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. And the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone. And he made cedar as plentiful as the sycamore of the Shephelah. And Solomon's import of horses was from Egypt. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Remember how we started this whole thing with the very beginning talking about a crack in the foundation? About why in the world did all of a sudden he gathered all these horses? You know, we talked like 40,000 horses. And we talked about this kind of beginning thing. It's amazing how these little cracks in the foundation. I mean, Solomon's living large here. You know, he is living large. And yet there should be an echo of God's counsel. Hey, Solomon, walk in my statutes, walk in my ways, obey my word, which he knew. Remember those things? Second point, God gives us space in seasons of grace. God gives us space in seasons of grace. I'd like to see the hand of one person in this room who's walking perfect right now. You got no sin. You got no issues. And if you're just about ready to raise your hand, let me remind you, pride's an issue. All right, gang? You know what? God gives us grace. How many of you are thankful for the grace of God? Remember, grace is it's something that we don't deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve the mercy that he continually pours out to him. So Solomon, Solomon knew the statutes concerning kings of Israel. God had been telling him and reminding him and saying, hey, bro, I want you to kind of look at this. And he kept going on. And God is literally reminding him and reminding him in the midst of his continually doing things for God and growing in stature and becoming famous and doing great. And so for those of us in the room today who you know that maybe there's some cracks in your foundation and you've continued on and you're growing and you're prospering and things are going well, I got to ask you a question. Are you in a season of grace? Just because judgment has not landed upon you doesn't mean that it ain't coming. Now, that's a beautiful thing about walking with Jesus. Is he came to take the judgment due us. And so the grace that we experience is that God sent his son to be the propitiation of our sin. That doesn't exempt us. You see, what troubles me about the church now is like we think that because Jesus came that somehow we can just walk however we want to walk. The standard of holiness that the church, it's like we kind of spit on the cross. Some of you are like, oh, why would Pastor say that? Because we kind of do. He cleaned our carpet and we go walk with muddy shoes and we trape all the way through. We poured our concrete and the concrete was wet in the first night and I came the next morning and there was a fresh set of footprints right through it. And bless the heart, someone just probably didn't think, but we were like, ah. So we had to work and work and try to get it out and whatnot. But it was like, I just kind of looked at that and it was a little frustrating. And then the Lord's like, okay, calm down. Our contractor said, I'll try to work her out. And I began to think about how God has somehow brought me grace and he's smoothed everything out. And when I just don't even bother to try to walk in his way, it's like that. It's like I'm just traipsing through. And then there's grace. But he's like, look, I want you to walk in my ways. God kept offering Solomon counsel Over and over again, God kept offering Solomon counsel. Solomon welcomed, here's the point I want to get to. Solomon welcomed God's wisdom through him, but not in him. Isn't it annoying, the person who can tell everyone else how they're supposed to act, and yet they don't act like Christ themselves? How many of you know people like, don't raise your hand. Yeah. You know someone who can tell everyone else what to do, but can't like take care of their own house? Yeah, let's not be that person. You see, there's a lack of personal application, and I see Solomon was justified by other voices, like the Queen of Sheba, and he was justified by blessings, his own personal blessings, and his success. My church family, I got a question for you. You know, are you in a season of grace right now in some area of your life? Are you tolerating some crack in the foundation of your walk, where you know God's word is very clear about it, and you're just kind of hardening your heart towards it? Don't discount God moving in you before he moves through you. All right, gang? Let's go on, because let's go back and visit that counsel of the Lord to which God continues referred as we get ready to conclude our message today. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. This is the verse that we've referred to about the statutes of the kings of Israel. It says, when you come into the land the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell it in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the other nations that are around me, you may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 3. Now Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughter of Pharaoh. Remember how this kingdom was established with a political marriage to the daughter, this Egyptian princess? I mean, right off the bat, small foundation. Right off the bat, small compromise. Right off the bat, you know what, God, let's just let this go. You know what, there's a lot of things I think in our lives that we've just gotten comfortable with, that God's not comfortable with. Now, everybody listen to this. What in your life are you comfortable with that God's not? That kind of sounded snotty, but it probably should. What are we comfortable with that God is not? It says, you shall not enter marriage with them neither. Shall they with you? For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. It's not that God is a racist. Don't read this and say, oh, you see, Christians are all a bunch of racists. No. What he's saying here is don't have your cult. Don't literally abandon following me by embracing this other godless culture. Because Solomon clung to these in love. So my final point today is this. Ignoring issues quite small leads to a great fall. I sound like Dr. Seuss now. But it's true. When we ignore the little issues, it's the little foxes that destroy the vines. When we ignore little issues, gang, they grow. When we just accept them and we tolerate them and we say, eh, that's how it is, they become larger issues. They grow to large issues. When we're called to love, okay, we are called to love what God calls us to love. And we're also called to avoid that which draws us away from him. This is not because God is grouchy. It's because God is gracious. And God wants for us a relationship. And gang, we have to understand, sin removes us from God's holiness. And God has called us to walk in holiness. Yes, there's grace. Yes, he can forgive us. But why in the world? Why? Jesus says it like this. Why do you say you love me and you don't do what I say? Right? I hate raisins. Did y'all know that? It's not a salvation issue. It's nothing else. But you know what? I know, and there's lots of jokes, and I think those are all funny and good and whatnot. But you know what? My wife loves me. She doesn't make a raisin pie and leave it in the front door. You know, she said there's things that my wife knows I don't like. And she just doesn't do this. I like liver and onions. I know my wife doesn't. I don't sit there and cook it at home unless I know she's not going to be around. Then I'm just going to stink up the whole house, right? Gang, Jesus' words are kind of there. Why do we love him and don't do what he says? You know, this is rough stuff. Solomon starts off with a small compromise. This will make peace with the world around me. Think about that. The reason for the small compromise was to try to get along with the world. What small compromises does the church make to try to get along with the world that then leads to bigger and bigger cracks in our foundation? Are we supposed to embrace ungodliness of the world around us? Absolutely not. We're supposed to shine Christ's love, not embrace the world's values. And the world does reject many of Christ's values. And we're seeing that more and more in our society today. We're living, you know, in just the past 20 years, we went to living in what we thought was a Christian nation to then the declaration, you know, of we are a post-Christian nation to now we're a anti-Christian nation in many ways. We've moved in that culture an awful lot, gang. And so we, as followers of Christ, we're to shine Christ's love, not to try to befriend the world. John Wesley once said, one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. So understand this. Understand, gang, as we think about this today. Don't be deceived by the praise you receive. God gives us space in seasons of grace, and ignoring issues quite small leads to great. We'll conclude this next week. Would you stand for that?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.